Are you ready for the word?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's say this together. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we receive insight and fresh revelation in your word. We believe and receive that there is no error or confusion or distortion either on our hearts or in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service and in this teaching, he is glorified as we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Acts 3. Now, yesterday we began to look at times of refreshing. And we called it how to have times of refreshing. Because we have studied that times of refreshing is not an event. In Acts 3:19, we said the word kairos shows opportunities. You know the way you say prayer meetings, and you say we're going to have prayer meetings, and you now open an opportunity and say every Tuesday. So it's not one, it's every time you come together to pray, you will have a prayer meeting. Why? Because you brought the opportunity. Every time you say you want to pray, you pray. And that means you created an opportunity to pray. The same way the word kairos is used, times of refreshing, opportunities, events, occurrences of refreshing. And we said the word refreshing there is not life to a dead person. No, it's not. We saw a word that equally explains it. 2 Timothy 1:16. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshes me. In other words, he brings encouragement. He refires me. You know, and if Paul could say that, then it's something that we need. He said he does it often. That means it's not once. So even for Paul, he knows that if I get to Onesiphorus, I will be refreshed. So he takes the due advantage of that relationship. He knows that Onesiphorus is an opportunity to be refreshed. And that goes with coming for conventions and meetings. Like I tell people a lot of times, you don't change what works. If you know, for example, that church and church services have built your Christian life. I've said it before. There is no gift of God that I've seen working in my life that I did not receive in a meeting. None. So I'm the least person in the world, apart from the doctrine of it, my experiences. I'm the least person that would talk down unbelievers coming together. And the impartations of the Spirit. You know, there was someone, interestingly, who he said something to Pastor Tokes. Pastor Tokes is another elder friend of mine. He said to him, he said, can you imagine what Pastor Shegun is saying now? He's saying there's nothing called impartation, that people should not lay hands. And Brother Tokes said, well, I don't know the post you're talking about, but that's not the man I know. Obviously, the guy read a sarcastic thing I wrote. And, you know, in his mind, he wanted to see something negative. So he saw it. You know. And I said, that's interesting. How would you say that I don't believe in laying on of hands? Me. Now, it shows, and this is someone that should know me. This shows that really, for whatever reasons, he doesn't follow me or watch me at all. It's impossible. Even the devil will say, don't lie. Yeah. So that becomes really, really ridiculous. Something you should know. So obviously, you know, Such people were just mischievous. So, from my experience, just my experience, apart from the doctrine of the word, which is clear, it can be ruled out. So, if you know that church meetings have contributed a lot to your spiritual growth, that means those meetings are for you times of refreshing. Notice Paul says to Onesiphorus, he said, he does it often. So it's not once. He does it often. So if Paul could need this often, more than once, therefore means for us as believers, we should want, expect, and have times of refreshing. So we said yesterday that the local church is a place where we ought to experience such refreshing regularly. And that refreshing, right, is such that when it's happening, we said it will inspire the preaching of the gospel and a couple of other things. We're going to see that in a moment. So we connected that yesterday with the day of Pentecost. That the day of Pentecost was a pattern. There's a pattern. See, you can predict things from God's word. There is a pattern. A pattern that we can readily see. So we said the first one is there is a repentance. Repentance many times can mean you are adjusting, or you are changing, you are fixing something. But repentance, first of all, starts with your mind. Metanoia, that word deals with the mind. Then it reflects in your conduct. For example, if someone hears a lot of truth about who he is in Christ's identity, there's no repentance until it reflects in how he talks and acts. So the repentance we're referring to will change our outlook. It will change what we are doing. It will. So we said yesterday, let me just go over some of the things we said yesterday. Are you here? Alright, we said there is a strong teaching of the word. Remember that? Strong teaching of the word. So if you desire, I'll use the word revival because that's really a more modern word. Though I disagree with that word because it's in the scriptures, it's life to the dead. But for the sake of this teaching, let's use a revival. If you desire revival anywhere, right, you put forth the preaching of the word. You ensure there is no revival outside the preaching of the word. Now, preaching and teaching are the same things. Okay? There is no such revival. It has to be, or refreshing. It has to be a strong teaching of the word. And not once, it's consistently done. That's one. And we said the word we're referring to is the apostolic doctrine. Alright? To teach, just like Acts 2:42, we saw the pattern. They follow steadfastly the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine. Then we said there is fellowship. Fellowship. Now let me say something. There's a difference between the church fixing programs and services and believers actually desiring to gather. Let me say that again. Many times, for example, when I got born again, I was told we should be coming to church. But I wasn't really, the explanation didn't really come through. Okay, come to church, and like, if you miss the service, and Jesus should come and meet you on the field, playing football, that's the end. Your salvation is gone. And those who have been playing football before, if they attended that day, they will go. But you just one game, you are gone. But the thing is, You know, the desire was more from fear. Okay? But when there is a refreshing, believers will want to come together often. It's regular. I'm going to say this. You know, okay, I mentioned that later on. Then the third, there is a community created such that the great and the small, the rich and the poor, the young and the old, male and female, right, people from different ethnic groups. And we've said it many times here. The church is the real United Nations. So there's that point. There's a commonness. There's a commonness that the church will bring that no organization can do. And it's the move of the Spirit of God. So the fourth one, there's a huge emphasis on prayer. Acts 2:42. They continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Huge emphasis. And just like Acts 2, verse 41, we found out that 3,000 were added to the church. 3,000. Now, that sermon of Peter in Acts 3:19, when it was done, by Acts 4, 1 and 2, the elders and the Sadducees, you know, they were upset. But verse 3 and 4 says another 5,000 were added. 5,000 were added. So we said, there's strong evangelism. Strong evangelism. So when there's a refreshing in our church, in our churches, we deliberately and intentionally start to teach the word of God a lot. Now, don't forget, it starts by repentance. We repent. We say, well, we need this. We should have this. We should do this. So when that happens, there's a strong emphasis on teaching, fellowship, gathering, commonness among believers. Then we also say, in that, there's a huge emphasis on prayer. Evangelism is so strong. So strong. Now, watch what I'm about to say. Usually, it looks like a move. I remember a friend said this years ago. He said, the reason why it's a move, this is what he said. He said, it's because oftentimes we mismanage it so it doesn't continue. So, what we're saying here is, it ought to be seasons. I mean, times. So, the moment we see it is waning, we get back in there. Why is it waning? It could be many things. But the moment we know it is waning, our first reaction should be repentance. Don't say, that was then. What was then? There is no time that we would not need to gather often. There is no time we would need a strong emphasis on prayer. There is no time who would not need, believers would not be, you know, gathering. And of course, commonness among, there's no time. But the moment we know it's waning, and a minister of the gospel should be sensitive to see it. Usually, and I must mention this, this waning happens when you start to grow numerically. And as usual, people will bring in new problems. If you don't understand as a pastor, you will learn like a learner. Problem no dey finish. Problem started from Genesis 1-2. The earth was without form and void. That's the first description of the earth you have. Problem no dey finish. What they simply mean is you cannot lose focus. Okay? Just like Acts 6, when the people said, oh, people are not getting food and all that, said, we will not leave the word of God and serve people. They did not abandon the duty, no. They simply delegated it. We'll give ourselves, continually, Acts 6:4, to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So we said, what are the signs that we're going to see? We said the signs will be signs, wonders, and miracles. There is no move of the Spirit of God. There is no times of refreshing that is not accompanied with visible signs, wonders, and miracles. We said the second thing, Believers are generous. They are generous. They give. They give. Like I said yesterday, there is the false teaching on giving. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's like sin. It is here to stay till it goes finally. When it goes, you may not even be the person to see it like that. Okay? So, you cannot all the time be focused on that. Right? So, there will always be excessive. Imagine, what do you think Simon the sorcerer heard? That you are seeing the move of God in Acts 8, then you offered money. It wasn't taught by Philip. It wasn't taught by Peter. It wasn't taught by James or John or Jesus. But somehow, he knew that. So, there was excess. So, believers will be generous. That's the second thing we said yesterday. Then the social lives of believers will center around their worship centers. Like, their social lives will be ingrained in church ministry. Doesn't mean that they won't belong to other social groups, no. But what will be topmost priority for believers will be their social lives among believers. Then we said, believers will have favor with people for the work of the ministry. Now, I don't mean this to say that all our churches will walk in the favor of God. In the things that we intend to do in the coming days, we'll be favored to carry out the work of a ministry. I'm saying people will work for you that you are not paying. For your church and your ministry. People will render their skills and knowledge for you to assist in what you are doing. Is that clear? Because we know we came for times of refreshing. And we have it. I said we have it. So which means we expect signs, wonders, and miracles, right? We also expect that the believers in our assemblies are generous. So we don't talk down on money. We don't talk down on resources. Why? Because we have times of refreshing. What else? The social lives of believers are centered around the worship, the believers' gathering. We have favor. And also, we said, believers are more diligent in their earthly duties. Now, we said things to expect. I'm just repeating what I said last night. Unusual interruptions of God's Spirit. That is, unusual interruptions of God's Spirit. We also mentioned that unusual men will be used by God. The unusual men, you know, will be used by God. And we use an example of Saul of Tarsus. Increase in laborers also. Now, I don't put out some caution yesterday. I said to us that do not focus on excesses. There will always be excesses. I know people, for example, who use Holy Ghost meetings to get wife. Yes. And even to get money from people. They do it. Not here, by the grace of God. But I've seen it before. Now, you have a tendency to think the Holy Ghost was not moving at all. No. Anything handled by men will always have excesses. So what do? Just what I'm doing right now. You correct it by teaching without denigrating the move of the Spirit. Now, what I'm saying right now will require a lot of wisdom and experience. So, if you're a pastor, for example, you can ask those who are ahead of you and say, this is going on, what do you think, sir? And they'll guide you. I remember one time, Kenneth Copeland and Gloria Copeland, this always comes up anytime I'm saying this. And they had this problem with their television ministry. And I heard it from Gloria Copeland myself, Mama Gloria now, because she's 80 years old. So, she said that they now went to Brother Higgin, who was a spiritual father to them, and said, Is it that God didn't send us? Why are we having these challenges? And the brother Higgins said, no. It doesn't mean God didn't send you. And he gave them some advice. You know, that advice came from experience. And they said that was how they were able to have a stable TV ministry. So really, there are times that you have those relationships and you ask, we had this happening in our church, our ministry, but somehow this happened. It's most likely that that minister has seen what you are saying. So, you have that. And we said that there will always be excesses, but we should not focus on the excesses. Do not focus on the excesses. Correct the excesses, but focus on the word. Focus on what God is doing. Say, I focus on what God is doing. Mm-hmm. And of course, we also mentioned avoid offenses. You know, offenses. A couple of things usually happen. You know, anytime God is using anybody, that includes you and I, we always have a tendency to be proud. All of us. And pride could be, why is it not me? Or pride can be, it's only me. It's just about you. And pride can also show forth when you feel you are not being used. And all that. So, usually, those things show up in the midst of the move of the Spirit. You'll be surprised. And believers will start arguing, but what they are arguing is not the real problem. It's something else. You know, but there's something else that is biting the person. And we all have to avoid it. So I said to you last night that the best way to deal with strife and dishonor is personally. It's not good enough to confess it in church. It's personally. You know, when you look at the picture of someone and you start feeling offended, it's that point you should deal with it. And you say, ah. You know, there's not also as funny as you read people praising someone else. And then watch how your heart reacts. When you are not being praised. I know when you are being praised, you say, don't mention. And you leave, what you mean is, please keep mentioning it. You know. And check your heart. When someone else, see, there's no better way to judge yourself. When someone, and you just wonder, you are just uncomfortable. Why are you uncomfortable? You are just uncomfortable. You just feel like, you know, what's this? We are all human now. No, the person thought that we are not human. You know, check your heart. And also in the church. In the churches. You know, you could be someone that the pastor gives responsibilities all the time. Then one day, she changes or he changes it, someone else. You just look at the person that, is this my replacement? Who told you we are being replaced? You are not being replaced. Well, if you want to be replaced, maybe you are replaced. But it's just someone else being used by God. So you check your heart. I've seen, and this is me saying this to you, I've seen legitimate move of God that was, allow me to use the word, killed by men. I saw it myself. It was this, people just decided to fight. Years down the line, they now look back and wish they did not do it. Who would that one help? The deed has been done. So, now, are you here? So we allow a free flow of the move of the Spirit in our churches and our gatherings. Right, good. Now, another very important sign in this, I want you to pay very good attention to it. I'm going to be as brief as possible. Is joy. Joy is one of the fruits of refreshing. Or call it revival. Like I said, I would rather not use the word revival, but for communication, let me call it revival. Joy. And I'm going to say this because I want to mention this one precisely. It's not just joy in the Holy Ghost in the services. the believers in their homes, at their workplaces, in the society, they are full of joy. I was so surprised when some people called protest the move of God. I was surprised at those who said it. Now, there's nothing wrong in individuals or groups protesting against bad governance or whatever. Those things are civil rights. It's within the sphere of human organization and society. It's fine. But you can't call that the move of God. That's the move of men. And it's fine. Men can move. But the move of God cannot come with complaining. No. It shows people that made such comments are spiritually literate. Sorry to say it. I'm not really sorry. You know, because it can't be. So joy will reflect in our conduct. Notice that we're going to look at a couple of scriptures now. In the days of Jesus, it was tyrannical rule. You know something? He did absolutely nothing. Nothing. There was nothing he did that altered that government. Nothing. Nothing. But you know what? He altered the lives of the people by giving them another government, which had nothing to do with civil rule. He altered their lives forever. And that's the focus here. So, joy is the fruit of God's move. And Brother Higgins said this, and years back, he said, God is restoring, and I believe that 100%, is restoring the spirit of joy to churches. And usually, when you find condemnation thought, you can't find joy there. Joy and condemnation they cannot be in the same place. No, they can't. Because those who receive condemnation, usually those who are condemning them are hypocrites anyway, but those who do it, they usually are sad. They are anxious. They think God doesn't like them, or He doesn't want to like them. There are two things. He doesn't like them, or He does not want to like them. So He's waiting for them to do something, then He will confirm that I don't like you. So they are always anxious. Anything they see in the world, they'll talk about it. You see what we are saying? So people are afraid. So condemnation always comes with that sign. However, when the word of God is preached and taught, there will be joy. So let's hit it one more time. Luke's Gospel 1. I'm focusing on Luke again. Don't mind me. Luke's Gospel 1, verse 14. When Zechariah saw that angel, look at what the angel said in 13. Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have what? Come on, Luke 1:14. Thou shalt have what? And many shall. How many times you have joy here? Three times. You will have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. It's not done. Look at verse 41. Mary went to Elizabeth. And when she got to Elizabeth's house, what happened? She said the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. In verse 44, it says, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. See, God is doing something. Joy is the fruit. Look at 47. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So joy is a fruit of the move of God's Spirit. Luke 1:62. Now, they made signs. This is when, you know, Zachariah couldn't speak for a while. And they asked for his name. He said, John. 64. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake, and he praised God. 67. He's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he is prophesying. So, the move of the Spirit is accompanied with joy. Notice, it's not joy in a program. It's joy. Of course, there will be in the meetings. There will be in the meetings, definitely. But it's joy in our lives. Joy. So, hear this now. In the next 12 months as pastors, emphasize joy. You do hear me? Talk a lot about joy. Luke 1, 6. Now look at Luke 2. This is when Jesus is born. Luke 2 and verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, a multitude of heavenly hosts. Now in Luke 2:38, we have a woman who was a prophet or prophetess who saw Jesus, and she began instantly to give thanks. Now, if you back up, Simeon did the same thing. Now, Jesus himself, amongst other times, look at Luke 10:21. Now, when the disciples came back, the apostles, disciples actually, and he came back and said, the demons are subject to us through your name. Then he says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, Luke 10:19, and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. They said, notwithstanding in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are in the book of life. Now, the rejoice it uses here is in the present tense continuous. That means it's an instruction for all time. So, in 21, he now demonstrates. Now, pay attention to what Luke is descriptive here. When he says Jesus rejoiced, it's an active tense. That means you will see what he did. Now, that word there is an old Greek word, agaleo. Agaleo is all encompassing. It's another word called agalesis. It means to exalt. It's exuberant show of joy. I'm going to show you a text as we follow. An exuberant show of joy. You know, there's joy, and some of us have retired in rejoicing. Not here. That's a glory. Glory. That is not the rejoicing. It's a hallelujah. But you also learn. You just want to move some part of your body. Glory. Yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, that's not what Jesus did. It's an active tense. It's exuberance. Which means, and I like how a version describes it. He said, he took steps up and down in reckless abandon. That means it was not coordinated. If you're not careful, your rejoicing will be mechanical. It's just another dance step that you are doing. And it's not funny. I just want us to come out of it, because that is a sign of spiritual lethargy. So you have, he's uncoordinated. It's uncoordinated, such that it's exuberant. Then he leaps up and he jumps. He doesn't just jump, he runs. So, why did Jesus do that? Because he had given an instruction to rejoice. So that is what he is saying. Are you following what I'm saying here? He gave a description. Earlier on, we saw one of it was the fact that this, the agalysis part, the baby in the womb of Elizabeth leaped. And there's no way the baby could have had coordinated steps. Just uncoordinated, that was scatter legs. So Jesus explained it in his action. The same way we saw how he prayed, we saw how he taught, we also saw how he rejoiced. So Jesus rejoiced. Now in Luke 24, after those guys had been sad, he came back, then he taught them. He taught them for 40 days. Verse 51 says, it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Let's take 52 together. Luke 24. Are you there? Come on, are you there? Are you in verse 52? Let's go. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So this is not an instance. With great joy. Great joy. Look at 53. And were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So was it a one-time event? No. It was consistent. There was great joy in what they did. Great joy. In Peter's sermon in Acts 2:28, he stated that in hell, or Hades, or Sheol, Jesus was full of joy. Acts 2:28. Full of joy. Thou hast made known the rules of life, and thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance. So, now, let's now follow through. So we have said that when God is doing something, the people are full of what? Now, is it passive joy or active joy? So one of the ways to see a church experiencing refreshing is that they are full of joy. It's the character of the Spirit-filled church. They are full of joy. Including the person giving the announcement. Including when the pastor is rebuking someone. They are full of joy. And imagine, and so the pastor cannot be a fellow who is straight-faced. No. That's not the fruit of it. Okay? So, look at Acts 2. Notice how this reflects on others. Acts 2:41. Peter preached. Notice what he said in 40. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. He has spoken about the death of Jesus and all that. Now, read verse 41. You could miss this very easily. Read verse 41 slowly. I'll wait for you. Let's go together. Then they that gladly, stop. They what? Gladly. So the joy reflected on the unsaved. Such that when they were receiving, let's call it altar call for the purpose of modern times. When they were saying, yes Lord, they said with exuberant joy. Why? That's the move of God's Spirit. They gladly received the word. Gladly. There was gladness in their response. In Acts 3:8, the man that was healed, no, before we get there, Acts 2 and 46, they were condemned one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat the meat with gladness. Look at 47, praising God. So, thanksgiving, joy, and rejoicing are all marks of the Spirit-filled church. The man is healed in Acts 3:8 and is leaping, walking, and praising God. Leaping, walking, and praising God. Acts 5 and 41. When they were brought before the judgment seat and warned not to preach the name of Jesus, what did they do? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. They were rejoicing. Acts 8. Philip, who went to Samaria to preach Christ, Acts 8:8, as he preached the gospel, he saw miracles. He said there was great joy in that city. Great joy in that city. Acts 8:29. The Enoch, as soon as he heard the word, his baptized with water, what happened? He went his way rejoicing. You can't miss this pattern. He went his way rejoicing. Acts 13 and verse 52. Again, they are opposed. They are told to leave Iconium. And he says the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Because if you are filled with joy, Ephesians 5, for example, 18 and 19, then 20 says giving thanks. You give thanks. So, they are filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Acts 15. When the news of the Gentile conversion came, they caused great joy. Notice the emphasis. It's great joy. That is visible rejoicing. Great joy. Now later on, when the apostles, verse 31 and verse 30, when they read the epistle of James and the apostles, 31 says, when they read, they rejoiced for the consolation. You can't miss the fact that the things that God is doing and he does, they are accompanied by great joy. Visible, discernible, tangible joy. Acts 16. Paul and Silas, you know the story, they were jailed, put behind bars. And it says in 25, they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now later on, that jailer, they went to his house. Verse 34 says, as they preached to him, in all house they heard the word, and they rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. They rejoiced. So joy and rejoicing, they come with the move of God's Spirit. Now, let's get it right again. It is exuberant joy. Exuberant joy. It is a joy that is tangible. It's not mechanized. It's not mechanical. It's a joy that is discernible. It's a joy that is contagious. Which means that if a believer is walking in times of refreshing, at his workplace, his joy will be contagious. He lives in a life of joy. And there are believers today who will need to do that before they set out during the day. Particularly when you stay in Lagos. You are prone if you are not careful. And some of us who live off social media. You live. You know, some people are sad today. They can't explain why. They are reading tweets of people and they are just unhappy. They can't explain why. They just be reading things and just say, you know, this is bad, everything is bad. Boy, you know, you are angry at everybody. And you're a believer. You know? So, that one is also contagious. Some people don't like joy. Are you aware? Some people don't like joy. Some people take joy in others not having joy. And they tweet. They write posts. And they are just not happy. There was a guy that told me, he said, you unfollowed me. You know, I said, because you're always sad. You are never happy. You're always complaining. Say, am I not being realistic? I say, hey, that's why I left you to your reality. Stay with your reality now. You're always unhappy. Why are you always unhappy? You're just unhappy. This is very bad. This is bad. This is evil. This is evil. Nothing is good. Even you. So, a sign that we are filled with the Spirit is not that we're in Holy Ghost. Then as soon as you step out there, probably it will take long. Is at the car park, they'll start frowning. Who parked here? Ah, this is nonsense. I'm going somewhere now. And I say, woo, glory. You've not made that a lifestyle. Because we need to take the move of God's Spirit into our everyday life. When you have new disciples, do you radiate joy? You're just with them. Okay, you got born again yesterday, right? Thank God for your life. The way you even said it, you know, imagine, look at me. Imagine saying like this. Thank God. How is that giving thanks? We thank God. Like you were forced to say it. Like they wrote it for you. Just say it. We thank God. We praise God. You're not praising God. You're lying. Praising God is an active tense that involves joy. Have you seen people say, I will rejoice? And they'll be like, I will rejoice. I will, like, are you rehearsing something? So, in your daily life, the unbelievers, for example, they don't even like, they get to a place and people were laughing before, people just go numb as they see them. Believer. Just running. What's going on here? What's happening? He said, why are you doing like that? Because I'm going to heaven. Start going now. You're taking long. Hallelujah. Which means that we are distributors of joy. Now, you know, I'm not talking about here. Is we are going to do the one that is for this place. But I'm saying living here, a distributor of joy. Because we know God is doing something in our country. And we are the stewards of it. So we are full of joy. We are full of it. We know He's doing something. So we are full of joy. We know something in Africa, in Europe, in America, we are full of joy. You know, that's what I told them. I said, this is happening. You know, this is happening. This. I said, I know. But last week, somebody told me, 500 people got born again. Say, I know that one. That's not what I'm talking about. I said, ah. This is a pastor. I said, ah. 500. Salvation. It's not what you're talking about. Let what you're talking about stay in your belly. 500 were saved in someone's outreach. And you say, that's not what you're talking about. He said, what I'm saying, what are they going to eat after they are saved? Ah. Duh. Those kind of people, don't go further in that conversation. It will bring offense. Just say, it is well. When you are not having a conversation, when I tell you it is well, it means I'm tired. It is well. I don't often say it is well. When I say it is well, it is actually well. A friend of mine will say, no, it is a river. So we are distributors of joy. Say, I'm a distributor of joy. That's who we are. Why? Because we are God's agents of times of refreshing. So we are distributors of joy, which means, now, you know, you can ask a believer, let us pray. Right? Right? Can we also ask a believer, let us rejoice? Hold on. Let me say it again. You know, I can say, let us pray. And you know exactly what to do. If someone says, let us pray, you just close your eyes. But people say, that's let us pray stands. Is it, let us pray. Yes. So you have bowed your head, or remove your cap, or put a cap or something. See, let us pray. In fact, let us pray. Some of you don't know the prayer, but start speaking in tongues. So which means that you know how to respond to that instruction. Okay, someone says, let us give thanks. Right? You can start saying, Father Lord, I thank you. Father Lord, you know, they are the same. Why are you laughing? Or Father Lord Jesus. Is that to give thanks? Now, if someone says, let us rejoice. Sit down. It's not even for this afternoon. I'm preparing. The guy says, okay. So, which means, I can come to you, and, okay, maybe, there's a story in the news, about maybe the country, maybe about this or that, and just say, let's just rejoice. Now, when I say let us rejoice, I mean let us laugh. Right? I mean let us run. Right? Wait. I mean let us leap. Right? Sit down. So, when a believer and a believer come together, sit down. I want to show you something. We're not done. And say, let us pray. They know what to do. Right? So the same way, if they say, let us rejoice. You don't say, Father, that's not what it means. It didn't say, let us raise our hands. Let us rejoice will include your lips, your feet, your whole being. We rejoice with our whole self. There's no part of us that is excluded. So when a believer says, let us rejoice. You don't even say, at what? Then I'll say, come and get born again. I say, begin to confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior now. You understand? Say, let's thank God. You don't say, for what? Giving thanks always. This is the will of God. Rejoice always. This is the will of God. So we should have friends that snap us out of bad moods. Don't have a friend that says, I understand. You know you are a male, melancholy. You know you are a sanding. Your friend should say, let us rejoice. So, now, the way scriptures describe it, the one you are doing, eh, you are not getting what I'm saying. You will get it now. There's a story in scripture that explains it. And when you look at the things of scripture and the language used for Jesus, you will know the exact story. I'll show you that story. 2 Samuel 6. Now, the ark represented God's redemptive work. Okay? It represented His work, His spirit, His presence. So, at some point, David was bringing it back. And in verse 12, he says it was with gladness. Now look at verse 14. Are you there? David danced before the Lord with all his might. Are you seeing it? And he was girded with a linen ephod. So, what did they do in 15? They were shouting. That's not shouting. This is your shouting that is 1 second. I'll show you everything. I'll show you everything and leave the rest to you. Now, look at 16. The ark of the Lord came to the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter. This writer is mischievous. He doesn't say his wife. It's his wife, oh. He first of all traces her to her father. It's when you commit crime that you mention your father's name. He didn't say his wife. Saul's daughter. And you will see that it came out later. You will see. Say Saul's daughter. She looked through a window and saw David leaping. You know, that's so undignified. Leaping. He's jumping. Jumping. You know, and you look at that. I know you used to do this when you were on campus, but you are now MD CEO. Behave. There's a rejoicing for MDs. It's hallelujah. Or we give him praise. We give him praise. You know, it's not praise, it's praise. There was a time like that, some guys, they don't call Holy Spirit, they say Holy Shh. So they give him praise. Give him praise. That's for a big boy. They say, glory to God. Glory, ha ha. Sorry, is that a laugh? Ha ha. Ha ha. Ha ha. That's someone struggling not to yawn. Even the angels are looking at you, what's wrong with this guy? Who is doing you? She looked at the window. And the only person she picked out was her husband. She felt that, I can't be associated with this kind of person. You know, there are people like that, that there's a part of your ministry you don't like. Say, I like the way you teach the word, but this part, just teach the word, let's hear it. But this one that you're just jumping with, I kind of say, who are you? Sorry, who are you? You? I'm just feeling that, you know, it's just... Let's just teach the word. We are, let us. Let us make man. Let us teach the word. Are you well? She looked at the window and said, ah! So that shows you rejoicing can be very funny. And I said, what's this? If it's normal, glory. She wouldn't have said anything. Woo! Woo! That shows you that's not rejoicing. It requires mockery. Because if it's just hallelujah, someone just say, she just think the king is doing exercise. That's not rejoicing. Woo, glory. Woo. You can even count it for you, it's four. They now say, what happened? I say, we rejoice. You are lying. You were not part of those who rejoice. Are you here? Okay. She despised him in her heart. Like, what's this? I mean, this is, I went to pray for someone one day. And so they said something, they said, rejoice. So imagine I was the only person in that assembly. Me, I didn't say anything. In those days, I'm far better now, sir. If I go to a place, I don't join you to do the kind of dance you do, and I believe that if you're all looking at me, I will now continue. So that you have something to say after the service. Okay. But Tokson is worse. But we have all changed. You know, for the sake of the body of Christ. You know? So, she was looking at him and wondering, what's going on with this guy? Now, she now came out. You know, some people are so funny. She didn't just, she said it. She now said, now look at it again, 20. David returned to bless his household, became the daughter of Saul. Okay? This person is deliberate. Came out to me, David, and said, look at the mockery. How glorious was a man of God, a pastor today. Look at, she is the one that told us what he did, though. Who uncovered himself. That means his clothes fell off. Who uncovered himself today in the eyes of his mates. As one of the vain fellows. Which means rejoicing does not come with any kind of dignity. If you are still doing class, this is not class, you say, with vain fellows. She now said, shamelessly. Can you see the description? We need to hear it from her. No holding back. Nothing. Say, look at you now. Don't you see how that other guy rejoices? He's dignified. He just says, hallelujah. We give God the glorified. You didn't get that. We give God the glorified. Hallelujah. Don't say, you know, our God is in our midst. Glory. Hallelujah. Man of God. He said, let's rejoice. He said, I rejoice. So, rejoicing actually attracts mockery. Someone told me, say, look at the meeting. I said, I saw you and your pastors, say you're all on the floor, and you, what is going on? I said, what does it look like to you? I'm just wondering, in the church, where you're everybody's laughing, everybody's... I said, is it your clothes? Did we borrow shirts from you? No. Leave us now. I said, I'm just thinking, you know, do you have scripture for it? I said, I have none. Look, we don't explain anything to them. Oh. Say, I have no scripture. Say, no scripture. So, what's the doctrine behind it? The doctrine is shut up.
Shut up.
It's not everybody you answer. See, David now responded. David did not allow it land. So that you know the writer was deliberate. He said, it was before the Lord who chose me before your father. So can you see that Saul's daughter is deliberate? Before your father. Say it like a Nigerian, before your father. It was God. So if people ask you, why are you laughing? It is the Lord. Why are you reckless in laughter and joy? It is the Lord. He said, the Lord who chose me before your father. He said, listen, before all his house. He didn't stop his, before his household. To appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. I will yet be more vile.
Sit down for one minute. Sit down. So, the answer to mockery is do more. That's the answer. If they say you are praying too much, pray more. You are giving too much, give more. You are rejecting too much, do it more. Say, I will do it more. Why are you on the floor like this? It is the Lord.
That is a Calvinist. He said, hey, these things, I have a way I answer them. Say, you know, this thing you call move of the spirit. You people say that God is sovereign. And we cannot question him. He can just do things anyhow. This is one of the anyhows. I said, you're not serious. I said, I'm very serious. God is, he can do anyhow thing. So this is one of the anyhow. All questionable you are. So if he's making us, he said, people are laughing and saliva is coming from their mouth. I said, God is unquestionable. When you are laughing at jokes, doesn't saliva come out of your mouth? Is saliva a sin? So, learn to rejoice. It's an active thing. It is the Lord. Why are you acting like it is the Lord? Your tie is off. It is the Lord. Your shoes are off. It is the Lord. You're not even looking neat. It is the Lord. You are falling down, it is the Lord.
Starting for tonight. Yes. It is the Lord. Why is your wig removed? It is the Lord. organized. It is. Where is your shepherd? It is. Help me, please sit down. It is. It's not the president of my nation. It's not my boss at work. They don't have the capacity. Then let me rejoice with you. It is the Lord. Who can make the king of Israel remove his clothes? It is the Lord. See, when we go before earthly dignitaries, we behave ourselves. But when it is the Lord, it is the Lord. Sit down. Sit down. I've got just 5 minutes. Sit down. It is the Lord. I'm saying to you, sit down. When you get back to work on Monday, your countenance will be changed forever. They'll ask you, boss, colleague, what's going on? It is. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Sit down. Let's do one more thing. I call it rehearsal. Tonight, we allow the meeting to flow. So what are we going to do? You know, we said we can pray together. So find a joy partner. It's for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And say, let us rejoice.